Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a tweet here, Joe. Can I read it to you? It's about our topic we just had.
Yeah.
This is from Coach C, who says, Penn State playing big games later does not justify a very weak non-conference schedule.
Yeah, well, Texas
Texas has four games against ranked SEC teams, and they're opening with Ohio State. LSU has six games versus ranked SEC teams, and they open with Clemson.
Good.
Schedule tougher.
Good for them. Great. That's wonderful. How many teams? There's way more teams that do it the way Penn State's doing it than don't.
Oh, there's no question.
And what has Brian Kelly done?
And I understand the logic of that. I do, because if you have a tough conference, you just want to get your team ready for that conference. I get all that. But that should not mean that you can't schedule Pitt and West Virginia if you're Penn State.
And it should mean for Pitt all those years when they shunned West Virginia.
Same thing.
That should happen every year.
And it's local. I don't know. I just can't. It seems like Penn State people always want to. They don't need Pitt. They don't need West Virginia. Yeah, they do. I think they do.
They do not need Pitt.
No, but football in general around here is better
when
these two teams three teams play.
And I would phrase it this way. I think way more Penn State fans than are given credit for, if I can phrase it that way, would love to play Pitt. Alums would love to play Pitt. People, all the Penn State alums in Western Pennsylvania, or a lot of them, would love that Pitt game. It's good for the state.
It's good for everybody.
And people want it. That doesn't mean Penn State needs it, though, because they most certainly don't.
No, and if they're going to handle their business the way they do, it's been successful that way. So they've gotten them, except that they haven't won the big game. I think this is the year they do. I think this is the year they beat Ohio State.
I don't.
I do.
I think that Ryan Day is 28-1 in Columbus, and I think that Ohio State may have the best defense in the country. They may have the best player in the country, the best receivers in the country.
Penn State is loaded.
So is Ohio State.
I understand that, but I think this is the year that Penn State goes there and wins.
Maybe Penn State should score a touchdown against Ohio State for once, and then we can talk. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens, Bob. What is there a point spread on that game? Do they do preseason point spreads, game by game limits?
I bet you they do have a preseason
game. I'm sure somebody does.
And I bet you it may be a pick 'em or something very close to that.
When I saw it, it was Ohio State by 2. Okay. That was a couple days ago.
Ohio State, they're 28-1 with that guy at home, Bob.
I realize that. And they were ready to run him out of town after he lost to Michigan.
I know. That was his one loss.
But
you know what his overall record is, Ryan Day?
It's incredible. I know.
70-10.
Yeah. I mean, for people who always wanted to get rid of coaches, even like Franklin, just appreciate the fact that this program is every year, one of the top programs in the country, to the point now where it's top 5 in the country.
See, if you agree with limits on this, Bob, from yesterday, it was rather incendiary. And by the way, let me get to this first. Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Limit says if Penn State were to get to the national championship game and lose in overtime to, say, Clemson, it would be a failure of a season.
No,
do you agree with that?
No way.
I'm with you, Bob. I'm with you.
No.
He's lost his mind.
You know how many wins it takes to get there, especially during that? And you're going to tell me in that scenario, they play an overtime game and a championship game, and you're going to say it's not a good season.
Yep.
Well.
I'm sticking by it. I'll stick by it the whole year. I mean, if they do not win the national championship this year with what they have coming back, with the coordinators that they have, with all the NIL money that's been spent, this
they're
is
the
year
only
to get it done.
That has a great team with good coordinators and spending a lot of NIL money. And I bet you Penn State's not spending anywhere near some of these others. At this point.
No, but does Penn State have the same level of talent that's coming back in many different areas?
I mean, you're talking about going to a championship game.
Yeah, and they were in the semifinals last year.
Okay, that's a step forward, and it's overtime.
So don't you think that what does overtime have to do with it?
Because it's a close game. You can't look. You know,
that's
talk
great.
About Buffalo
Notre Dame
Bills.
Was a close game. If well, that was
the wide right was by like 19 inches. That, I mean, your whole season comes down to a kick or something.
So,
come on now. If you get to the championship game, that's a hell of a season.
I agree.
I just think that the ultimate end result was matters, not how if you lose. I don't really care how you lose.
He also said this, Bob.
Seems like you're taking for granted just having a program that is constantly among the top programs in the country.
I'll admit that, yeah. But okay. I do feel like if this is not the year for James Franklin to get it done, it's never going to happen
for
him.
But he's gotten him, you know, last year was a step.
So if they get to the championship game and it's a great game against Clemson or Texas or somebody, your conclusion would be, and they lose, you know, on a last second field goal, man, he'll never win.
Correct.
See, I would think he was one large step closer to winning in that case.
Would you fire him then?
No, but here's Limit's other hot take from yesterday.
Yes.
Listen to this, Bob. Listen to this hot take. He said, let me get this straight now. If Penn State gets to the playoff, here's the scenario I painted. Penn State gets to the playoff and gets blown out in the first round by a heavy underdog. I think Franklin would be fired in that scenario. He said no. He thinks Franklin would be back if Penn State gets to the playoff but loses at home, let's say, to a huge underdog in the first round. I think that would be the end for Franklin. He says they'd keep
him. Like Ryan Day, he'd be under the same sort of pressure in that scenario. But
you think they'd keep him, Bob?
I think they would keep him, but I think there would be a lot of debate about it.
What if they missed the playoff
limits? But to your point, though, you're telling me you'd accept that and not fire him, but if they got to the finals, you'd be disappointed.
Me, personally, I would move on. I don't think that the athletic department would do it, though. I feel like they are that committed to him. Plus, financially, there's still another $60-plus million on his contract that I don't think that they would want to buy out of.
I think, all right, so if they don't make the playoff, is he fired?
Yes.
So you throw everything you just said, you throw completely out the window, the money, the finances, everything else, and you fire him if he doesn't make the playoff.
Well, if you're the number two team in the country and you don't even go to the playoffs, I think that's a different story than making it and losing.
If you go and you're a 23-point favorite against SMU in the first round at home and they beat you, that's a huge difference to you? Or you think it will be to them?
I think it will be to them, yes.
So they'll keep him in that scenario.
Yes.
I think the public pressure, the fan pressure would be overwhelming, Bob, and they would fire him.
You're probably right. I just can't believe you're going to be not satisfied with a championship game.
No, Bob. Man. Honestly, I wouldn't. I mean, look at it. They have the perfect blueprint of what Ohio State and Michigan did in the two previous seasons before that.
I understand that, but there were
some. Are they better than Ohio State?
Are they better than Texas?
Better than last year's Ohio State team or this year's Ohio State team?
Obviously, this year's. Are they?
I think they have more talent, yes.
They do.
We're going to find out November 1st.
We could go player by player, I suppose. It's very close. Then why is Ohio State a 2-point favorite?
Well, I mean,
them.
Typically with point spreads, if you get 3 points just by being at home. So
okay.
If it was in Happy Valley, I imagine,
so
or
at worst,
a neutral site, they'd be favored.
At worst, it's a 1-point difference between the two programs.
Right. And I'd say that's probably fair. I mean, they have the best wide receiver and best safety in the country.
I mean, how silly, to me at least, would it look if Penn State makes a great run to the final, gets past, I don't know, Notre Dame, let's say, in a rematch in the semis. They have a great game. Penn State wins. And then they do go and play Clemson, and it's 43-42 on a last second field goal. And then the next day they announce that Franklin's fired.
Well, I would think you'd set your program back quite a bit.
I would never advocate that.
No,
if I
would
were
either.
A Penn State
never,
fan.
Never.
I'd have to be happy with
you
that.
You have to
season.
Be happy. I mean, the whole season to me is about, I get people want to win. It's hard to win, but if you take a team and your team goes through an undefeated or one loss season, get to a playoff, wins those games, get to a chance. How could you not be satisfied? I would be just jumping for joy, even if they lost. Now it's bitter to watch them lose, sure, but still, that's quite an accomplishment. Maybe I'm just getting soft.
No, I agree with you because there's other teams. It's not. Listen, it'd be one thing if Penn State was way better than everybody else. You know what I mean? Like they had the team. And they're supposed to win,
right.
And they could play anybody, and they'd be favored by a touchdown.
There's
tons of teams who could win this thing. Tons.
How many teams do you get, though, that are so far and away better than everyone else? This is not like 07 Florida or 2019 LSU. Well,
you don't. But I'm saying unless you have that team, then how could you justify firing him because if he gets to the championship and loses a legendary game?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
No, not me either.
But I respect Limit's opinion.
Yeah, he's...
He's a fan, Bob.
And he's been in deep with Penn State. There's no question. He travels hard. He goes there. He believes.
Are you guys Drew Aller believers?
I think Drew Aller's going to have a heck of a year, yes.
Limits?
You know the answer to the question for me. Yeah, I'm definitely an Aller believer. I need to see more from him. There's no doubt. It's not like a
need to
firm
see
stamp
more,
of approval.
Or you need to see his first great year.
Well, I need to see significantly more from him. I need to see him be able to improve in the clutch moments and be able to make those throws when counted upon for game-winning drives. He's done it on a couple of game-winning drives, but not against Ohio State, not against the Michigans of the world, not against the Oregons of the world.
Well, most notably, not against Notre Dame when he was 12 for 23 and lost the game on an interception. Do you remember that
one? That was probably the worst game that he has ever played.
And as I keep saying, maybe one of these years, they'll score a touchdown against Ohio State, right?
This will be the year, Joe.
So not only do I need to see more from Drew Aller, I need to see me watching Drew Aller saying this kid is really blanking good. I haven't said it yet, at least not for a season. Right?
Yes. He has to be dominant to me.
He does, and he has all the pieces in place to do it this year. 2,000-yard backs. They completely revamped the wide receiver room. OC is back for another year. There will be a head coach this year. Four offensive linemen back as starters. There's no excuse this year. And that's another reason why, for me, it's a national championship or bust. There's no excuse. There's like eight returning starters on offense.
No, the excuse would be you ran into another team that was just as damn good as you were, and you played a great game, and so did they. That would be the excuse.
I don't want to make excuses.
There's no excuse to lose to Clemson. There's no excuse to lose to Ohio State.
I think it's just because this feels like a backs against the wall, everybody's leaving, there's already questions about Franklin to begin with type of year, where if they are going to get back to a situation like that again, it's going to take a while. Like, it's going to probably take 3-4 years to be able to feel like you're a realistic national
championship contender. But their recruiting classes are always good, though. I mean, they bring in a lot of talent.
You just told me earlier they have this kid from McKeesport lined up who scores a touchdown every time he touches the ball.
Not just him. They have other guys, too. They've gotten a lot of he's very good at recruiting. I think that's his strength.
And how about somebody from Rivals or On3 came out today and said, Keemon Spell, if he is to flip, these are the six schools that he's considering flipping to. So
yeah, things can change fast with your so-called recruiting classes. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Steiner and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm. Where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Athletic, their entire staff, fed the information into their model, and they have their win projections for all 32 NFL teams, Bob.
Interesting.
They come from the guy who put this all together was Austin Mock. He has a hell of a mock draft, Bob.
I bet he does.
It calculates an expected win total for every team, okay? So Mock has the full projections, and then they have the beat writer give a little comment, and that's what we're going to do, because Limits is the beat writer. Which predictions are too low, too high, or just right? Here we go, Bob, in alphabetical order in the AFC. Are you ready for this?
Only AFC we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's too much. We don't have time for the whole league.
That's fine.
The Baltimore Ravens projected wins 11.0. Their beat writer, Jeff Zriebeck, I think, says just right. They have one of the league's deepest rosters. Whenever Lamar has started at least 12 regular season games, they average 12.5 wins, but they do have a difficult schedule. He thinks 11 wins is just right. I'm going to say over. I think the Ravens are that good. You?
Yeah, I think over too. I think they're the team that I look at has the most logical chance to get to the Super Bowl from the AFC. They've been knocking on the door before. I think this may be the year they do it.
City dweller?
I think 11's a good number. I could probably push to 12, though. Going to be a good year for the Ravens.
Bills, projected wins 11.2. Their beat writer,
point
Tim.
2? I never heard that. It's either 0.5 or even. What's 0.2 mean?
It's a little over 11.
I know, but why should it then go 11.5?
I don't know, Bob. You're going to have to email Austin Mock.
Okay.
Their beat writer, Tim Graham. I like him very much. Every year when the Sabres get eliminated, he has the best lead I've ever written, which is gentlemen, start your golf carts. 20 straight years, Bob. Something like that. That's, I don't know. They stink.
And that fan base deserves better.
Yeah.
They support that team all the time.
He says of the Bills, 11.2 is too low. Mm. Buffalo has averaged 12.2 wins over five straight AFC East championship campaigns. I'm going to say just right. I've got some questions about the secondary, about the pass rush, about the schedule. So I'm going to say 11 is just right for the Bills. You?
It may be just right. 11.2 may be exactly right. I'm going to go over that. I think they're a 13-win team.
Holy ostrich.
Wow.
Well, they feast off their division number one, and I think they'll do that. But they also, they're too talented. They got a lot of things returning from last year. Sort of similar to Penn State's situation. Everything's intact. They've added some things. They have weaknesses. Every team does. But I think 13 wins is, to me, doable.
Very quickly, Mr. P.
Over. Give me 12.
Cincinnati Bengals projected wins 10. Their beat writer, wow, Paul Daner Jr., says just right. He said, I'd be tempted to say 10 was low. They might have the best offense in the league, but new defensive coordinator Al Golden, though he's built momentum and confidence in camp, the first team snaps showed how far they have to go. Man, I don't like this defense at all. But I they can win 10. I might say 9 for them, so I'm going to say maybe a little high at 10. Bob?
It is just right. Because okay. I thought 10 wins is what their, their defense leaves a lot to be desired, but their offense more than covers up for their blemishes. So 10 sounds about right to me. So I go 10 and 7.
City game?
I agree. 10 and 7 is where I'm at.
Cleveland Browns projected wins 5.4. Zach Jackson's their beat writer. He says too high.
5.4 is too high. Now here's 0.4 again. I don't know how they.
Well, whatever their formula does. He said they might have an elite defense. Yeah, we'll see about that. They're going to let Joe Flacco fling it until it's time to pull the plug and then play the rookies. This is a disaster, Bob. He said at some point they're going to be playing for a high draft pick in April. This is too high. They're going to win 3 games.
This is a tough one to say under just because 5 wins seems so little, in this day and age where you can.
They did it last year, got
I know,
under.
I know that. But just for the sake of it, I'm going to go over slightly just because it seems to me that 5 is just. You can accidentally just run into a win here and there in the NFL against some of the teams. I haven't looked at their schedule, but their quarterback, they're going to be chasing quarterbacks forever.
City paper?
Not much more would make me happy than to see the Browns win 6 or 7 games, lose out on a quarterback at the very top of the draft, but I think they only win 5. They go under.
Denver Broncos projected 9.2. Nick Kosmaner, their beat writer, says too low, and I agree 100%. They had the top-ranked defense in the league last year. In terms of EPA per snap, I know you know what that is, Bob. And they led the NFL in sacks. They bring in Greenlaw from the Niners. They bring in Hufanga from the Niners. They draft Barron in the first round. Jahdae Barron in the first round, defensive back. Bo Nix was outstanding as the season wore on. You give me, they brought in Evan Ingram as a tight end. They brought
Dobbins
in J.K.
Too, right?
Dobbins. They picked R.J. Harvey in the second round. This combination in the NFL works. Elite defense, good quarterback, great offensive head coach. They might make it to the Super Bowl. They're going to win 12 games, ooh, Bob. You like that?
That's way over 9.2. I'm going to say over, but not 12. I'm going to say 10.
City planner?
Bob, you and I have that connection today. 10 and 7 for Denver.
10 and 7.
Houston Texans projected wins 8.8. Their beat writer Mike Jones says too low. They've won back-to-back division titles with 10 games each. They fortified their offensive line. I love the Texans. people bring them up.
Why is it 8.8? I look at their roster and I see much better than that.
So do I. And I see, like I said, that they fortified the line. I think C.J. Stroud is very good. He had no healthy receivers at some points last year. And the defense is outstanding. I love the way they flew around in Kansas City in that playoff game before the refs protected Patrick Mahomes with all those crap calls, those phantom roughing the passer calls. They might have won the game. I think this is an 11-win team, yep. Bob.
I would say 11 sounds about right to me, but too low, 8.8. Absolutely too low. They're good.
City sweeper?
See, I'm not as high on them as you guys are. I only have them with 9 wins, but they still win that bad division.
Bob, you don't like all my city nicknames for limits? I've gone from City Paper to City Dweller to City.
You
everything.
Have a lot of them.
Yeah.
To Mr. P.
I think you're scarring him. There's too many.
Yeah.
I am.
How
scarred.
Did Mr. P come out of? Where is that from?
Don't bring that back.
Austin P. is the name of the school.
Oh, okay. Mr. P.
And then
P.
he saw a commercial during the Super Bowl where it was the peanut, Mr. P.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my gosh, now we have to call you this again. And I said, no, please. Please.
Let's go right to the Steelers. Projected wins 8.7. Mike DeFabo, the Defobian mongoose, says that's a little low, Bob. He said every year we're asking if it'll be Tomlin's first losing season, and every year the coach finds a way to get to 500 or better, even with Kenny Pickett, who he chose, Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, who they drafted, Mitch Trubisky, Tomlin chose him, Justin Fields, Tomlin chose him, or Russell Wilson behind center, chose him too. He says a little low. I tend to agree. I'm probably at this point, I haven't solidified my prediction going 9 or 10 wins. You?
10-7. So I'm going over.
Yeah.
I just think that's what they are. Unless everyone just, you know, they can have career years. Aaron Rodgers can be much better than I think most people thought when he first signed here. He seems like he's comfortable here if they get the protection. Now, the problem is injuries. But yeah. We can say that about everybody. So I'll go 10-7.
City Streets?
I agree. They go over, but I don't know if it's going to be 9, 10, or 11 yet.
How about
I hope you know
Indianapolis
soon.
Is down to 7.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.